Hallelujah. We give God praise and honor. Praise the Lord. If you got your Bible, I want you to turn to James chapter 1. And we're going to start there tonight. I want to talk about something that's something that we know, but something that we need to remind ourselves of, because we live in a world that we are not used to absolute pureness of motive with anybody, are we? I mean, yeah, I'm doing my best to believe the best of every person, but yet the world system operates. But God is absolutely in nature. And so sometimes we just have to go back over common scriptures, over scriptures that we are familiar with over and over again, to remind ourselves of the nature and the character of God. And so that when we go to God's word and we come to God concerning anything, we are confident of the result, or confident of the, I could say, result of the interaction we're going to have with God. And so tonight, I just want us to look at and reinforce in our thinking, and for some maybe to you know, you're always planting seed or watering seed every time you open up the Word of God, even for yourself. Isn't that right? But to look at the Word of God tonight concerning the characteristic of God's nature, in that God is a giver. God is a generous giver. He's the Bible calls him a liberal giver. He's an open-handed, here it is, what do you need, come and get it, giver. Amen. Now, you know, you could understand somebody on the earth being limited in their ability to give because they have limited resources. There's only so much money I've got in my bank account right now to give you. You understand that? But God is limitless. He is the all in all. He is everything. So, to see God, see, to understand, but we're so used to being withheld from, amen, in the world, the way the world operates, that sometimes in our thinking, it's hard for us to make that over, that God is not like that at all. And so we're going to look at several scriptures tonight here in the New Testament and just go through these, starting with James chapter 1, verse 5. And again, our focus is not on the other things that are surrounding some of these verses, but we're looking at the giving nature of God. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, when I read this, I notice, you know, how many of you took English in school? How many would you consider yourselves an expert in English grammar? A lot less hands up there, you know. But knowing a little bit of English here and looking at the grammar and this, you realize here that he says he makes a statement here with the first part of it, and the last part could be a complete sentence, a complete statement. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him. That's a complete statement and a complete thought. We could write that. But James wants us to know something about God. He wants us to know something about it. If you lack wisdom and you ask of God, he says, this God gives to all liberally. Yes. Liberally. That means open-handedly again. Liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, there's no condemnation with it. He's not going to say, why don't you have this? Why are you coming to me for this? No, he opens up his storehouse of whatever it is you have need of and says, here it is. If it's wisdom in this case, come get it. How much do you need? That's the idea of a liberal giver. Now, we're told to be liberal in our giving the same way God. Why? Because we're God's children. We have his nature inside of us. And we're going to get to the place, I think, that we realize that because we're God's children and he has unlimited supply, we have unlimited supply because we're his children. He's not going to withhold from us. Therefore, we don't face any situation that the need cannot be met. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let him ask about and that gives, and it shall. Now notice here again, this is a statement. There's no backing off of it. He didn't say he might give it to you. He said, he shall. He's making an affirmation here. We can count. This is something that we can depend upon. It shall be given him. So if I, you know, you should put, we should learn how to put ourselves in this. You know, if Tad lacks wisdom, let Tad ask of God that gives to Tad liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to Tad. Glory to God. I got one of them, my wife got me one of those personalized Bibles. It'll mess your theology up. You start reading that, because it's God addressing you. Your name's in the whole Bible. You're like, holy cow, he's talking about me. Well, he's talking about you tonight. All right, let's look at Romans chapter 8. Praise the Lord. God is a giver. He's an open-handed free giver. He's not Jehovah withholder. Amen. In Kenya, they talk about, you know, you talk about poverty and lack there. The Swahili word is moskini. You get the idea, skinny. Living off the skinny. Amen. Now, you know, he's not talking about our body type. Glory to God. That's a whole nother subject. That's not our subject tonight. But living without and with lack. Amen. We don't have to do it. Here in Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him? How many of you have received him? Right? How many of you are in him? How many of you know that he's in you? So with him, also freely give us all things. So here's the thing about so many times, because of the way we've been trained in this system of the world, we feel like we have to qualify necessarily, or we have to earn a position or position ourselves in such a way that we deserve to get what we've asked for. But he who freely gave us salvation, who freely died on our behalf, who freely paid the debt for our sin, is ready to freely also give us all things, whatever we have need of. He positioned us. He qualified us. Hallelujah. Now that doesn't mean we don't live right. That doesn't mean we just go out and live in sin and act like the devil. We're not saying that at all. But we are saying that God, from God's perspective here. Now look at Hebrews 11. Sometimes I think we just read scriptures, make a few comments, let the scriptures preach for themselves. These are good sermons, by the way, you know, in the Bible here. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is, ready for it? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, here's one thing about it. God wants to reward, but he can't reward those who don't come to him and seek him. He said, if you lack wisdom, you have to do what? Ask. All right? You know I didn't hear a whole lot of really, you know, sermons about the Bible growing up in church. Grew up in church, but didn't, you know, much. Like I joked that I grew up in a no gospel church. That really wasn't, but you understand what I'm saying. But I do remember this idea of coming to God and you know, well, but the idea was, you know, all things work together for the good of them that love God. And that meant God's not going to give you anything. He's not going to help you anyway at all. That all this horrible stuff's part of his great plan for your life. Remember, now this is the same, I said, I'm not making fun, but this is growing up as a child, you know how you develop certain thoughts. I thought, oh, I hope I never get my name mentioned as being please pray for so-and-so from the pulpit at this church. As every one of those folks died that I remember. Oh, let's pray for so-and-so, you know. Well, then it wasn't very long after that, they're having a funeral for so-and-so. And as a child, I remember thinking that. But I remember this idea, you know, that God was just he was an absentee from our life. He wasn't a rewarder. He wasn't someone, you know, you come to. Amen. Because you never know. And this idea, God knows exactly what I have need of. And he'll give me. He knows that if I had more than what I have now, that would somehow, it would tempt me and I'd walk away from him. So, you know, he's going to not give me what I... Come on now. See, you can't find scripture for that stuff. You can find a whole lot of quote unquote religious and Christianese excuses for things why people don't have what they need. But the Bible says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what does that mean here? Well, when I come to God, I've got to believe that he is. First of all, he is what I need. But second, I've got to believe he's going to give me what I've come for. Right? You know, just from a natural standpoint, you know, you would be foolish if you came to me and said, Brother Tad, I want you to teach me how to eat right. Oh, don't be so serious. You know people out here, you don't be so serious. You can look at me and tell you, I don't know a thing about eating right. I know how to eat, but eating right? Now, my son's a whole different story. But that, I'm proof that just because you live in the house of somebody that eats right and extra doesn't mean it's going to just get off on you. I wish it worked that way. See, you wouldn't come to me, you could have no confidence. But see, I have to know who God is. I know he is my healer. I know he is my provider. I know he is my deliverer. I know he is my wisdom. I know he is everything I need. And when I come to him, I know this, he's not going to withhold that which I need. All right, let's look in Matthew chapter 7. And yes, that was a fat joke. You people are just too serious in here tonight. Was that a fat joke? Yes, it was. It's okay when you make them about yourself. Fatty. Anyway, Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. Let's begin in verse 7. What a great section of scripture this is. I love this here. It says, ask and it shall be given you. Yes. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives. And he that seeks finds. Him that knocks it shall be opened. And what man is there of you of whom if his son asks bread will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish will give him a serpent? If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? See, that's what I was talking about in the beginning. God is so different than how things operate. This world system is not operating like God operates. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Now, again, he didn't apologize here at all. He didn't say ask it, it might. No, he said ask and it shall be given. Notice Jesus' confidence in the giving nature of God. Jesus operated. You follow and watch Jesus. Jesus never acted as if God was not going to do what he said he was going to do or answer. Look at Luke chapter 12. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Luke chapter 12. I love this scripture here. Now see, these are these scriptures that, you know, some folks are preaching today, bless their hearts, that Jesus wasn't talking to us today. He was talking to the Jews, you know, and this doesn't apply to us, but they don't want to take these scriptures out of there. Well, if all of it didn't apply, then that didn't either. It didn't apply. That's just for the Jews, asking it shall be given. I was talking to one fellow one time. He said, well, you know, Jesus was speaking to the Jews. And so it doesn't, we have to live in the epistles. Yes, we do live in the epistles. But Jesus wasn't taught. None of that applies to us today. I said, let me ask you this. Do you believe if you speak to the mountain and doubt not in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, it shall happen? Oh, yeah. Mark 11, 23. I said, no. Jesus said that. It's not for you today, brother. He got this look on his face, like, hadn't thought of that one. How many of you have ever said something you hadn't really thought through? All right, Luke 12, 32. Fear not, little flock. Look at this one. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Ooh, I want God to be happy because of what he's been giving me. I want God to have lots of pleasure. It's his good pleasure. In other words, it's God's desire to give you the kingdom, to give it to you, to give it to me. Of course, John 3, you know, John 3, 16, we read this scripture sometimes and we forget that the aspect of it sometimes. And we center up on the believing, yes, and the everlasting life, yes. But what about the giving aspect of this scripture? John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave. Everybody said he gave. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice this. Now, here we get another insight into the giving nature of God. God gives because he loves. He is love. Love desires to give at the expense of itself. Amen. See, lust is a desire to get at the expense of others. But love, the characteristics of the love is to give. We're to love one another. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Well, how did he love us? He gave his life for us. He laid down his life for us, the Bible says. So ought we lay down our lives for the brethren. That's love. That's what love does. It's giving of itself. And so God's here saying, God, notice just even in the sending of Jesus, it's an act of his love and it's a giving thing. Well, think about this. Jesus just didn't give his life at one time. He gave his life. It's still given. You understand that? He said, the Bible says that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for the saints. He's still active. You know, he still has a present day ministry. I understand what people are saying when they say the finished work of Christ. Yes, our salvation is purchased. There's no more work to be done. But Jesus isn't finished. Amen. If he was finished, then he's not coming back to set up reign for 1,000 years and set up a king. He's not coming back on a white horse, is he, if he's finished? See, some people, well, you can't make absolute statements about things that the Bible doesn't make absolute statement about. We can absolutely say God is a giver. We can absolutely say he is love. Right? Look at John chapter 15. John 15, verse 16, says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Here again, notice Jesus bringing that out, Jesus making this statement. Now you realize when Jesus makes this statement, he fully believes that it's true and it's going to come to pass. So he says this, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name. So in the name of Jesus, he said, he will give it to you. Now he says similar over here in chapter 16. Look at verse 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will. Everybody say, he will. He will give it you. He will. Now, all of these verses that we're reading, there is no apology. There's no There's no restrictions on it other than you have to ask. Right? A friend of mine used to say this, if we do what the Bible says, we'll get what the Bible promises. Right? Do it the way the Bible says it and we'll get it. Amen. You know, how many of you kind of came into this in what we would call the charismatic move of the, you know, probably late 60s, 70s into the early 80s, the charismatic move, you know, and there was a lot of things done in the charismatic move in the name of God that probably wasn't God. Okay. but God honored our passion and our zeal. We had zeal without knowledge. in a lot of cases, you know. And so, we, you know, somebody, you know, we read there in James chapter 5 that if any is sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint him with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, it shall. So we centered up on that oil part. Glory to God. We poured gallons of oil on everybody and everything, you know. And I'll never forget one time somebody got in the church. We had just gotten new chairs. Somebody got in that church with a bottle of oil and anointed every chair with a cross. Because it's got to be, why it has to be a cross, I don't know. But they put it, and you could see, oh my, I'm telling you, the pastor was so upset. He, who did, you know. Amen. But we threw that oil everywhere. But the Bible says, if, let the sick person call for the elders of the church. Not dump oil on everybody. You know, then there were some, well, we're biblical. Anoint means to immerse. So we just pour it on them. Yeah, you're going to get my cleaning bill too. I'm going to send you my laundry bill because that stuff doesn't like to wash out. But we did, you know. And it had to be. Now, he didn't say what kind of oil. But we had to have the special anointing oil. Now, whatever brand that was for you, I don't know. I don't know if you could take the dipstick out of your car and get a little bit of that on you. Start, that's oil. How many of you know the oil didn't heal anybody? It's just a point of contact. But the Bible actually said, let the sick person call. You see, but we can't figure out why we're pouring oil on people. Nobody's getting healed. How come? We're not doing what the Bible says. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4. God is a giver. And I'm amazed at all that he did for us in those days. We had so many things that were just make no sense, absolutely no sense, but God honored. Praise the Lord. You know, and I mean, going back to the oil, we thought oil would do everything. I know it's for healing, but I mean, oil would cast the devil out of you. It would cause you to have favor in your job. Oil would cause, I mean, just anoint you with oil. Here, we're going to anoint you with oil. Everywhere you go, you're going to have favor. If you're single, you're going to get married. If you're, you husband and wife, you're barren, you want to have children, this oil, let us put some oil on your forehead. It'll cause you to get pregnant. I mean, that oil. Yeah, that's about right. We had a bunch of greasy Christians, I think, you know. Amen. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if anyone speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So if you're going to preach, preach God's word. If any man minister, if you're going to serve, do it as the ability which God gives. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise, dominion forever and ever. Amen. That phrase, the ability which God gives, if you run it and look at it through Vine's Expository Dictionary and then Strong's and that, there's the word in here to choreograph, the word where we get the word to choreograph. The ability, if you're going to serve, do it with the ability or the plan that God has given. Now, in the day that this was written, if you were to choreograph, let's say, a play or some type of musical, you were not only responsible to provide the script, but you had to hire all the actors and singers. You built all the sets. You all the costumes you provided, and you paid a salary to the people, and you fed them while they were part of it. You had to take care of everything, and that's what that saying God has done for us. And whatever you're called to do ministry-wise, whether it's to preach or to serve, do it with the ability that God has given, with the supply that God has given. Amen? That God may be glorified in all things. That's why Jesus would say, when they came to him and he said, good teacher, he stopped and said, wait, why don't call me good? There's only one good, that's my Father. which is in heaven. Why? Jesus wasn't ministering on the earth as God. He was ministering as a man anointed by God. And he said, point it to God. Give God the glory. The Father in me, he does the work. Glory to God. See, point it back to him. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. But he is a giver. Now, I want us to go back to Romans chapter 8 as we wrap this up tonight. And read this verse again, but then I want to read it from the Passion Translation. Romans 8:32. All right, in the King James, it says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely, everybody say freely, give us all things? Now, I want you to listen to this from the Passion Translation. For God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his son. Is there anything that God has as a resource, that God has that is of greater value than his son? No. And he's already given him for us. Now hold that thought. That's already been given. The greatest has already been given. Okay? Listen to how this goes on now. And since God freely offered him up as the sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else he has to give. Why? He's already given you the best that he has. Everything else is not... Why would he withhold that when he didn't withhold Jesus? Come on now. Why would he withhold? Why would you think God is withholding healing from you because he wants you to learn? Why would you think God's withholding when he already gave Jesus and stripes on his back? He's already given Jesus. Amen? You think about it. He already gave it so we could live free. We've died with Christ and we're risen with Christ. We're freed from sin. Well, think about it. Everything that came in because of sin, sickness and disease, poverty and lack, oppression, depression, all these different that came in because of sin, that came into mankind. Well, if we're free from sin and sin no longer has dominion over us, then neither does the fruit of sin. Sickness and disease, I'm free from it. Sickness and disease no longer has dominion over you. Why? Because he has freely given us. If he didn't withhold his son, how would we think? Why would we think he's going to withhold from us what we come and ask him for? You can't bring any request to God that cost him more than what he already gave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Freely give. He's a free giver. He's a liberal giver. And the proof of it should be that scripture, that because he freely gave us his son, he won't withhold anything else from us. He's not Jehovah withholder, like we said. He's not the God who makes you have need. No, he's the God that supplies all your need. He's not the God who increases your need. He's the God that supplies all your need. Amen? But we have to remind ourselves. Remind yourself of these things because the world, you can see, it doesn't operate this way, right? And we get caught in it too. I mean, we you know, because so much of the world, it's hang on to it. Dear God, hang on to it. If you get it, hang on to it. And I'm not saying you don't budget and keep things, you know, you have to pay your bills and all that. We're not talking about that. Don't drive in the ditch. But we're talking about this aspect of God, that we live with the foundational truth that my God's a giver. And if I have need of anything, I'm going to him. Now, I know some pastor came up with this because, you know, how many of you went in churches before and they'd say, the pastor would say, well, who's got a prayer request tonight? And they'd start. They'd start, right? Well, finally, I know some pastor came up with this. He came up with this idea. Well, who's got a silent request? Because he's tired of hearing all these sad stories about, oh, dear church, dear pastor, pray for me. Like Brother Hagin said, that one guy told him, the devil's on the run. I've got the devil on the run. I'm running and he's chasing me. You know, they said, so some, but you know, there's no silent request. We've got go to God. Well, I thought God knows everything. He knows I have need of it. But yet he said, the omnipotent God said, the all-knowing God said, omniscient God, all-powerful God, omnipotent, he said, ask me. Amen? So I'm going to do it his way. Glory to God. And I know I can have confidence. This is the confidence, John said, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that we have the petitions we have desired of him because we know he hears us. Glory to God. God is a giver. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is somebody here got, anybody in here right now? It doesn't matter. I'm not trying to, you know, we're not doing silent requests. You got pain in your body right now. If you got pain in your body, I want you to stand up. Do you believe that if you ask God for the healing power of God, really, and actually the healing power of God's already in you because Christ is in you. In him was life and the life's the light of men. In him is life and he's in you. Life is in you right now. That life's in you right now. So if that life's in you right now and you ask God, God, I thank you. I'm asking you for healing in my body right now. He's already provided. It's already paid for. All right. Now you could have somebody lay hands on you. We're not going to have anybody lay hands on you. Okay. Because you can receive right now. Because why? He's a giver. If you ask him for healing, he's going to give you what? He's going to give you healing. Right. So if that power is working in you right now, just say this. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the healing power of God. I ask for your power, that life in me, to be activated, to cause healing in my body. Now, you ask him, so what's going on in your body right now? Well, begin to move around. Find out. How is it? Move whatever was called you pain. Is it okay? Feel it. Keep going. All right. What's happening right now?
It's gone.
Kevin's better. Kevin's already gone. Ma'am, how about you? What's hurting on you? Your stomach? All right, is that life working in you now? You ask God. You ask him, and he said he'd give you what we ask him for. We know it's his will that we be healed because by Jesus' stripes we're healed. So that life is working in your stomach right now, right? So what's happening in there? You're being healed, right? So the healing power of God's working. Brother Hagin, you said keep the switch of faith turned on. The healing power is working in me right now, right now. So it's working in you right now. So you can feel it without it. Is it as much as it was or is it better? Not as much? Not as much. So what's happening then? That healing power is working, right? That healing power is working, right? Amen? So it's working. See, it's going to keep working as long as you keep the switch turned on, as long as you keep saying it. How about you? What was hurting with you? Your back? All right. Is the healing power working? Did you ask God? Is it working? So move, feel, see, do something you couldn't do before. How's it feel now? It feels good? Is the pain, have you got any more pain in your body? It's all gone already. Praise the Lord. Now, you understand that healing power, you can all can sit down, but keep checking yourself. See, just what I did with them. You can do that with yourself. Well, I prayed, I asked. So that healing power must be working in me now. Oh, it's working in me now. Praise the Lord. It's working in me now. It's working. That healing power is working in me now. See, there was three just quick ones right there. We didn't have to lay hands on. It's okay to lay hands on people. Bible says we can, doesn't it? Right? But as a Christian, you know, when you're by yourself and you don't have to have someone lay, you can receive it yourself. Just by that same, whatever you ask the Father, he will give it to you. Oh, I better call the church office and ask Pastor Marvin to pray for me. I know if Pastor Marvin prays for me, God will listen to your prayer. He'll answer your prayer. Amen? Now, if you need the pastoral staff, call. But you understand what we're saying. Well, I'm talking about living every day in the reality that God's a giver. Let's all stand up together. Praise the Lord. Can we give the Lord a big shout tonight? Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That healing power is still working in you. Healing power is still working in you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that pain has to go. The cause of the pain has to be rectified in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Just keep saying it. Just keep thanking God for it. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. If our prayer team would come, if you need prayer for anything tonight, come down and pray with them. They're going to pray with you according to the Word of God. That's where answers come from. And you know that when you ask, and two of us are gathered together, he says, if two of us agree as touching anything we shall ask, it shall be what? Given. It'll be done and given, right? So you can come down. They'll pray with you according to the Word of God. Did we have first-time visitors, Brother Mormon? None tonight? All right. Is there anybody in here first time that we didn't catch? All right. We're glad, everybody. Well, got a lot of home folks here tonight. Good. Good. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll be dismissed here then. And don't forget what starts next Sunday night. Camp meeting. Sunday night service is at 6, right? Then the rest of the week is 7:30. So 6 o'clock Sunday, 7:30 the rest of the week. High five about five folks and tell them whatever I ask God, he gives in Jesus' name. And you can be dismissed. God bless you.